Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start of their day here today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Apparently not on camera. Thanks, Max. Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm getting texts from Stilly this morning.
It's early start
before
for Stilly.
The show. Yeah. Pre-show text from Stilly.
That's impressive.
You know what that means. Even Stilly knows he dropped a doo-doo on the air yesterday so bad. he can't sleep at night. I got it.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with the baby.
Yeah, well, I hope it has something to do with the baby. But I fear that Stilly knows that on the scale of Stilly dumb takes, he had a real special answer. I think I may have to deal with this at 7:45.
Okay, right. Okay. You know, it's funny we bring up Stilly because sometimes this is his time of year to shine. I mean, Joe, we're approaching the one-year anniversary of the nine-minute run thing from Rick Barnes.
A nine-minute run when it was actually like 45 seconds.
A nine-minute run.
Completely made up crap. We're not going to say good run by the Vols on this show. We're going to tell it like it is. I'm going to make something up about a nine-minute run. Good God. Like
that was at some point in the tournament last year, wasn't it? I can't remember exactly when. Was that the Purdue game?
Yeah, it was the Purdue loss.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We tell it like it is on this show. I'm going to make up some stuff about a nine-minute run. Get after Rick Barnes.
It's his time of year to shine, baby.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep.
Got a lot to get into on the program today. Mike Wilson will be with us at 6:30 from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's path in the NCAA tournament. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 8. We got a whole lot of things to get into with Gentry, including the Titans, what's taking place to this point in free agency, and Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the tournament as well. So looking forward to all that. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, the second consecutive day on our program where we've got live sports to watch in the studio. Yesterday, we were graced with the playoff three holes of the Players Championship, in which Rory McIlroy won. And now we've got live baseball, the Dodgers and the Cubs in Tokyo this morning for games that actually count in the regular season.
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, it's
I didn't either until
cool.
I turned it on.
Yeah, so who do we have on the mound then?
I think Yamamoto is pitching for the Dodgers.
Okay.
I don't know who's pitching for the Cubs.
Imanaga.
There you go.
All right. Cool, man. It's live sports.
Live
two days
sports.
In a row.
It's what we do. We don't get those very often.
No.
On the morning show.
It was like during COVID, we got was it a Korean league that we had
yes.
for a while, right? Yeah.
Which we got into.
Yeah, we did. I mean, hey, man. It was all that was going on.
It was. So we talked about how everything looks like it's trending towards the direction of Cam Ward. And you can add some more fire to that yesterday as Jeremy Fowler was on the Dan Patrick Show. And I'll just quickly read the quote that he had. So, quote, talking about the Titans. From what I gather, they seem pretty comfortable with Cam Ward. There's some momentum there. With other teams I've talked to in the league that they feel like they're going to sit there and take Ward. I know the interviews with Ward have gone well. They feel comfortable with the mistakes he's made on the field. They feel like he's done a good job of explaining those and can be coached out of them and correct them. He's got the obvious upside on top of that. So to equal all that out, you know, you sense a little momentum for the Titans to sit put. So more logs on the fire of the Titans taking Cam Ward at number one overall. My question for Titans fans today is simply this. All right, it looks like you're taking Cam Ward, barring some sort of surprise here as they move forward here. Are you cool with that? Like, is that what you want? Are you in? Are you all in on Cam Ward as your quarterback? Because throughout this process, Joe, I would say, based on purely the reaction of our show, I would say we've had some the whole time, Titans fans, that have been like, Cam Ward's my guy. Let's go get him. Cam Ward is the guy that's going to turn this franchise around, and he should be the pick. I would probably say throughout the process that we've gotten more of, let's trade back, let's pick, let's collect some picks, and then take an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter or somebody else, because I'm not sold that these quarterbacks are the quarterbacks that are worth taking. So now that it looks like, and again, I stress looks like, your team is taking a quarterback at number one overall, and that quarterback is Cam Ward, are Titans fans on board with that? That's my question for Titans fans today.
Good question. And, of course, it's nothing like this is ever going to be, you know, unanimous, but I would guess that a pretty strong majority would be in favor of it. I mean, it seems like, you know, it wasn't that long ago. We, like you said, we were talking about, you know, we were just talking about basically anything but this idea.
Right.
You know, we were talking about all the veterans and the trading, and that's, of course, that's what they're going to do. They're going to trade out of there. They need picks badly. These quarterbacks aren't, you know, exactly what you're looking for. So, and even then, I feel like a lot of people were like, what are you doing? Go get the QB. And, you know, I was like, no, no, you don't do that. Well, I think they're going to do that. So I think, obviously, that means, I think it means that they have changed their mind, right? I mean, that seems to be the way it's gone, is that they have, again, what you just read there, remember, they've warmed to the idea. He helped himself a ton in interviews. We talked about that too. It's like, can you put into words the film? Can you give words to the film and make people feel like you get it? And that even some of these, you know, these plays that you just can't even start to think about trying to get away with in the NFL that you can in college, that you can actually like figure that out. You know, so I mean, look, I feel like there would be a strong majority from Titans fans in favor of it at this point.
Well, especially now, you know, we had a lot of those conversations prior to free agency, right? It was, all right, well, go get you a free agent quarterback, and then you can trade back. And if you have the opportunity to draft your quarterback of the future next year, well, then you can do that. Well, now we know what the free agency picture looks like. The quarterbacks are largely gone, and the ones that are not considering you, and it doesn't look like you're considering them. So you've got Brandon Allen and Will Levis in your quarterback room right now, and neither one of those guys are going to be your starter. So everything's looking like it's Cam Ward's team as they move forward here. What does that look like in year one? Is he the guy? Is he the right pick for you if you're a Titans fan to try to take a shot here to find your franchise quarterback? I mean, we've already got reaction on the text line. Trevor says, yeah, they said the same thing about Levis and the mistakes that he made being coached out of bad decisions. I'm still trade back.
I'm with you, Trevor.
Ty on the text line says,
I'm with you.
I prefer to trade back and load up, but there's a chance Cam is special. Part of me says we can't pass that opportunity up. Another texter says, I don't want Cam Ward because we won't give him a long enough chance to even develop. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Is that based on Levis?
I guess so. I mean, now they had Mariota. If you're going just purely organizational history, Mariota had plenty of time to develop.
Which is also the difference between the number two pick and a second round pick, but yes.
Jake Locker had time to develop. Vince Young, when he wasn't throwing shoulder pads in the stands, had time to develop. So it's not like that's been some organizational thing. Now, I will say the timeline, I feel like, around the league for these young quarterbacks, if you're playing early, has shifted, right? Like Kenny Pickett was a first-round pick and was out of there in 2 years in Pittsburgh. You know, we won't even bring up the Josh Rosen stuff. Like, it's kind of its own thing. But, even Zach Wilson. Like, Zach Wilson was a high pick, and basically 3 years into Zach Wilson's career, he was discarded by the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, he played bad, so there's reason for that. But people give up on these quarterbacks quicker than they did before.
Very quickly. Yeah, and at times, again, at times too quickly, and then they resurface. And that is a possibility, like with a Levis. But, I mean, I think last year, I think the data from last year is pretty clear on that. So, I think if the Titans take Cam Ward at number one, that won't be the problem. I think you'll see the full timeline for him. Now, again, is the full timeline now the same as the full timeline was 10 years ago when they took Mariota? Maybe not. Maybe it's more like 3 years.
Yeah.
And you know, look, sometimes that isn't enough. And so, you know, but it's not going to be like Levis. Which, again, I'm not saying the Titans were wrong with Levis, but it is fast. It is fast. Texter's asking, would it be better if he starts or sits? I mean, Brandon Allen's other quarterback, so I don't think it's even a question. I think that he will be the day one starter. Do I like the idea? Not necessarily, but yeah, like that's where they are. And look, I like the idea for us, you know,
sure,
for media in the town, yeah, to have an interesting. So even if the Titans are again scoring 17 a game, at least you're like all focused on the rookie quarterback,
yeah,
you know, but I don't necessarily, I think anytime you can give these guys some time, I think that's a great thing.
I think it is too. Now, having said that, we talked about the sitting versus playing the other day, and like clearly, you know, Jaden Daniels didn't need to sit. It's pretty clear. He didn't need to sit. CJ Stroud didn't need to sit. It's pretty clear that he didn't need to sit. Some guys do. Like, you know, Mahomes is kind of his own thing. Did Mahomes need to sit? I don't know. Like, that was the situation that he was drafted into, and they had a guy that could play. And I do think sitting down probably benefited Mahomes. He's talked about that. But could he have come in immediately and played? Probably, but I don't know. Other guys, I think, absolutely need to sit. I can tell you, Jordan Love needed to sit. Like, that really needed to happen. So where does Cam Ward fall on that sort of scale? I don't know. He's played a decent amount of college football.
At a higher level than Jordan Love, for example.
Like, is he a guy that would actually benefit from sitting? Or is he a guy that, like a Jaden Daniels, that's ready to play and is ready to go right from the jump? Now, I'm not even talking like the level of play of Jaden Daniels, but there are guys that are ready to go as soon as they get in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, some guys come to the NFL for 3 years, and yeah, that's not Cam Ward. He's went to three schools, and he's been around. So I think he fits the profile of someone who can come in and play and is as ready as you would want, as ready as you could expect,
right,
for a rookie. Robin Clarksville says, so if Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton were in this draft, would they be drafted ahead of Cam Ward?
No.
If so, they're both backup quarterbacks. No, they would. I mean, Joe Milton went in the last draft, man. Robbie won a bet with me because I thought he'd go in the fifth round. Where did he go? In the sixth round? Or did I win the bet?
No, I won the bet.
He went at the end of the draft. Of course, yeah. No. He would not go anywhere near ahead of Cam Ward, and neither would Hendon Hooker. Now, Hendon Hooker, I'd like to see the alternative reality of no ACL.
Yeah.
But he's
still probably not a first-round pick.
Probably not a first-round pick, and that is some of that has to do with their offense. So, you know, we'll see if Nico can break that. But there are some NFL people that are like, it takes 2 years to even get that out of you and play this offense. So, you know, but no, the answer is a strong no there, Rob.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It looks like Cam Ward is going to be the pick for the Titans. Titans fans, is that what you want? Would you want to see Cam Ward be the number one overall pick? Are you still team trade back? Where do you fall on the Titans and Cam Ward at number one overall? More of your thoughts on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Come play hooky with 102.5, 106.3, the game this Thursday and Friday at Boomba's Pizza and Watts Bar from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday will be at Boomba's in Murfreesboro, and on Friday at the Boomba's Spring Hill location. Come enjoy award-winning pizza, handcrafted beverages, win prizes, and watch the basketball games with us as well. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, the game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Open the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans. It looks like that's the way the Titans are going at number one overall. Is that the way you want to go? We've had varying thoughts on that so far on the text line. Joey from Bellevue says, I'm on team pick best player available. Hasn't drafting for need gotten this team in this awful situation? Brandon from Spring Hill says, Geno Smith is a good example of a quarterback who was drafted not in the first round by a bad team that went through playing bad times with bad teams. He eventually turned it around and played well with the Seahawks. I don't know how he'll fare with Vegas this year, but you never know. And we talk about that draft specifically a lot as it relates to this quarterback draft with maybe people not as high on this draft. Now, Geno Smith did not work with his first team, has since come back to Seattle and has played well, and now he's been traded to the Raiders. So we'll see what he does with the Raiders there. But certainly a revitalization of his career. If you're the Titans and you're drafting Cam Ward number one overall, you need him to work with you. You don't need Cam Ward to be the revitalization story 4 or 5 years down the road. And again, like I did it again yesterday, Joe. I'm watching some Cam Ward clips and YouTube film because I opened up Robbie's film room, which is not as, organized as Jared's film room is.
I'm sure it's very nice, though.
It's very nice. And again, you watch some of the throws he makes and you're just like, good Lord, like he's ready. Like he's the guy. But, I've watched some other things that, like, Orlovsky and other film guys have broken down, and there's a lot to work out of his game as well. And the question is, when he gets to the NFL, how ready-made is he going to be, and can he minimize some of the mistakes that we saw in Miami, and can he maximize some of the, I think, really good arm talent that he has? It's been interesting to hear, like, Trevor Maddich talk about him, too, on with Stilley. Like, he's got really good arm talent. He's got borderline an elite arm. So that's very intriguing. There's a lot that's attractive about that. You can make a lot of throws with Cam Ward in the NFL. I think you can make a lot of throws with Will Levis in the NFL too. So it's not always just about the arm. So I think it's going to be fun. Am I convinced that Cam Ward's going to be a great quarterback in the league? No, and I think that's where a lot of Titans fans kind of come down on this right now.
Right, and I think one sort of issue here for some people, which I totally get, is that you know, when something doesn't work out, a lot of times it's like, okay, try the other thing. Right. It's not always the right decision, but again, it's like Vrabel to Callahan. In this case, it is. Just like we had a text earlier, it is like kind of the same idea, right? It's, you know, Will Levis, you absolutely had a nice cut up of Will Levis big time throws at Kentucky where you're like, my goodness, look at that cannon. And look at that deep ball. And again, I mean, even, you know, you saw some of that as a rookie. And then you were like, you know, but can he, you know, stop doing the hero ball stuff and the weird stuff and just the bad turnovers, the death picks? Well, at this point in his career, the answer is no.
Right.
And he's been giving up on it. Again, Cam Ward will get more time. There's no doubt. Like Cam Ward, if he's the pick, will get more time. But I get, like, people are like, so this is, again, doing this thing again with, like, the, wow, tons of talent, but you know, does this stuff on the field that you just can't do. Anybody can talk about not doing it. Some people just never stop doing it, and some people are talented enough to overcome it. Your guy, Brett Favre, reverse Robin Hood, is exactly that guy. You know, but most people who can't resist those urges enough don't make it in the league.
Well, and let me be clear. Like, I think Cam Ward is a better prospect than Will Levis was. And we talked a lot about Will Levis at the time. I was not on board with the Will Levis draft pick. I don't think you were on board with the Will Levis draft pick. And then the Titans draft him, and you're forced to just say, all right, well, they drafted him now.
Let's see what he's got.
And let's see what he can do. So, you know, we could sit there and relitigate all that. I do think Cam Ward coming out of the draft is a better prospect than Will Levis coming out of the draft was. Does that mean that Cam Ward is going to be a can't-miss guy for you at quarterback at number one overall? That I'm not convinced of. And you know, who are you convinced of that? Because if you would have told me that Trevor Lawrence would struggle to the degree that he struggled in the NFL so far, I would have thought you were nuts. I thought Trevor Lawrence was can't-miss coming out of the draft. And he's been okay, but he's not lived up to what he was supposed to be.
Not close. I mean, he's been good enough to get a second deal. He's been good enough that the Jaguars, you know, I mean, they're not giving him away. They're not trading him away. Like, he's their guy. But yeah, it's not even close. If you could have, if you're a Titans fan right now and you could have that level of play from Cam Ward, would you take it? Basically, the same.
It's a good
player.
Question.
I mean, I probably would say yes. Because you can still win with that. Like, you can win. You know, Trevor Lawrence has won a playoff game.
Yeah.
But it's not exciting. I mean, well, I understand. Like, it's not exciting. Everybody wants the great. Everybody wants Mahomes.
Right. Like Jared threw out yesterday, Kyler Murray. Like if Cam Ward is Kyler Murray, would you take that?
If he was that fun to watch, again, now I'll just put on the media hat. Yes, you know. That's an interesting one. Kyler Murray.
Yeah, like he's been – I think Kyler Murray has been good. He got the second deal. Is Arizona ever – like is Kyler Murray – and maybe some of this is because of where he is. I don't know. But is Kyler Murray ever going to win a lot in the NFL? My guess is probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't put them – I don't put the lack of winning all at his feet.
I don't put it all
on
him.
Or else he wouldn't be the quarterback, right?
No.
He's had some, like – he's had, like, some very ups and downs.
Yes.
I feel like, you know.
Yes.
I mean, that's – so if you can get the bet – if he can become the best version of himself moving forward, I think that he can win. You know, at some point, they got to build a better team around him. If you could have the best version of him, I'd take that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's the obvious of – like your Lamars and your Josh Allens and your Mahomes and your Burrows. Like, of course you would take that.
Yeah.
Like, but if that's a lofty bar that everybody wants to get to that's very difficult to achieve. In the meantime, like, what's the comp of how good Cam Ward would have to be for you to be like, yep, I'll sign up for that. Like, is Kyler Murray one of those guys? Trevor Lawrence, is he one of those guys? Like, you know, looking around the league, I don't know, Tua. Like, if he's as good as Tua. Barring all the injury, I mean, forgetting all the injury stuff. Like Tua when he's on the field, would you take that at number one overall?
I mean, again, most people would be like, oh, no. But it's like, it can be so much worse than that. That's the thing. I mean, no one wants to, like, if you know that right now, then I agree with the texter who says, this is why you don't draft for need, you know?
Right.
This is why you draft the best possible football player and you get what you hope is a great player. Who's, you know, someone who makes a difference for your team, not at the quarterback position, and then at some point you find your quarterback. Again, that was basically how I looked at this offseason for the Titans, but that's now that they're here, you know. I mean, that doesn't excite me, but also, like, when we talk about 20% working out, 1 in 5 working out, that falls under the umbrella of the 20%.
Right.
It's true.
It's hard to get to the upper crust of that 20% where you're talking about elite superstardom. Let's quickly go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Scott to the program. Scott, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call, fellas. In the car on my way to work.
Nice.
Cam, well, I mean – it looks like that we're doing that, and just like you said about Will Levis, I guess it's like, well, we drafted him to see what we got. But my question is, who is he going to throw to? You know, the best thing for a young quarterback is to have a tight end. We got Chig and the one and number 81 from Cincinnati. I forget his name, but
Wiley. Yep.
Who is he going? Wiley. We don't have targets. We have one wide receiver. The best thing for. When you have the number one pick, it has to be a can't miss, and it's not one this year. I think that it's best to trade out. I still say that, but it looks like from all what they're doing, it looks like that they are going to take him. I'm hoping that they're just showing that, hey, we love this guy, so we can get more collateral. But I don't think that Cam Ward is going to be a savior like the number one pick should be. You know, guys, and I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll hang up. Oh, let me just say this, too. You free agency here, and you have to get the draft picks right when you're a team in a Nashville area or like Cincinnati or pick places like that, because guys just don't want to come as free agents. The top guys don't come to Nashville. You got to get it right, and you can't keep missing like with Caleb Farley, with Will Levis, a second rounder, with all these guys that we picked over the years. That's why we're sitting at the top pick, because we didn't draft right. And I'm happy that we're getting rid of these guys, and hopefully that we can get it back together. It's going to take a while. Hopefully get back together. I'll hang up and listen to y'all's great show.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt particularly when you've drafted as poorly as the Titans have drafted over the past few years, you got to start hitting on drafts starting right now.
Yeah. Now, I will say real fast that, you know, when they were winning, well, I mean, like guys like Bud Dupree and Clowney, you know, again, they may not have worked out, but they got some guys. There's a lot more interest when you're winning. Now it's a lot harder.
Yeah. No doubt about that. We'll be joined by Mike Wilson coming up next from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Get his thoughts on Tennessee, their path in the NCAA tournament. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Wilson to the program, who covers Tennessee for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. You're going to be hanging out a lot with the Rex Road here in the, over the next potentially a few weeks here. So good for you. A lot of Rex Road coming up.
What a fun time.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing great now, because I know I won't be later.
Nice.
Very well done. Very well done. So, Mike, Tennessee gets things started against Wofford coming up on Thursday. And then we'll see where things go from there. But what do you make overall of the draw for Tennessee, their side of the bracket, and their path moving forward here?
Yeah, I think from a first weekend draw, it's pretty good for Tennessee. Utah State offensively is interesting, but I don't think Utah State or UCLA as a potential second weekend matchup is bad from a 7-10 perspective. So I like that overall. If you're talking about what Tennessee got, second weekend's definitely interesting in terms of what's potentially out there. I mean, Kentucky, obviously a team that you lost to twice, is a possibility. Illinois, you beat on a buzzer beater in their arena in December, but Illinois probably is better than a six seed. They just had a really bad February while they were super sick. So that's a really talented six. So that second weekend draw is interesting in terms of that Sweet 16 potential matchup as well.
Well, you didn't mention Houston and the Elite Eight game that we're already presuming.
Is Houston getting past Gonzaga?
Oh, God, yes. Are you picking that upset?
I have not picked that upset, but I'm saying that is a when you talk about a second round matchup, that
could
is
be
a
fun.
Hard second round matchup.
I look at UConn and Florida too. I mean, like, I think Florida will dust them, but then again,
there's the pedigree there. But yeah, Gonzaga, Houston, you're talking analytics, it's a top 10 KenPom game in the second round of an NCAA tournament, so that's kind of wild. But the other half of that top half, Purdue is the 4, Clemson is the 5, is not that intimidating.
No.
That's not a great half there. I mean, if Tennessee ran to Purdue, the only thing they're dealing with there is the bugaboo of NCAA tournaments past. But Braden Smith to Kai Ziegler would be a super fun March matchup.
But what do you – let's say we do get Houston-Tennessee. I think it's a – Houston's really freaking good. They can actually shoot this year. But I also think that Tennessee could have gotten a worse one seed than Houston.
I think Houston's probably the second best team in the country behind Florida. And when you talk matchups too, I think Houston's a tough matchup because you're kind of playing a mirror image of yourself if you're Tennessee. Whereas I fully recognize Duke is immensely talented, Cooper Flagg, number one pick, all that. I think Tennessee would have preferred to play Duke potentially because they've seen Duke in the postseason before. They like messing up freshmen. They've got the old guards. Like, there's some stuff there that I think matchup-wise works a little bit better than maybe what you'd get with Houston. But that game, man, I wouldn't want to be an official calling Houston Tennessee.
No doubt.
Mike, how important is Jordan Gainey going to be in terms of the role he plays for how far Tennessee goes in this thing?
Well, he's been important for a long time. I mean, his play this season has changed a ton about this Tennessee team. I mean, offensively, their profile is better than last year's team, which had Dalton Knecht, and that kind of bends the mind just a little bit because it looked so good with Dalton Knecht. But I think one of the big reasons why this team is better analytically, metrically, offensively is because of Jordan Gainey. The way that he's scoring, the things that he's doing more than you got from Santiago Vescovi last year. And that's one of the reasons that this profile, I think is raised for the overall ceiling of this team. I mean, what he's done in a couple of games, Illinois and Florida, immensely special. But he's producing like 9 to 12 a game, it feels like, on a pretty regular basis. And importantly, he's good with the ball in his hands now. That allows the Kai Ziegler to be off ball some of the time. They can initiate some different stuff. You've seen them do that from time to time with Gainey and Meshack. But just what he's giving them offensively has really changed what they're able to do.
All right, so my biggest concern on this team is Igor. Yep. Igor Milicic. You know, I mean, you first of all, you know, very close. I think I said this yesterday on the show, but I was very, very close. I mean, both of us were to one, you know, huge late game plays against Auburn where one, he just doesn't catch the ball, and Ziegler, that great deep catch the whipping ball. And then, you know, and then he just doesn't run the play where it's a slip for a dunk and he pops out. And Barnes, I might have almost said a swear word at that point. But beyond that, I know, almost. But beyond that, you know, it's just, I don't like what I saw in terms of compete level and physicality. I mean, you got to, I know that's not his game, but still, if you're going to be the foreman for this team, you got to bring more of that. What is going on with him? What can they do to get him going?
I mean, he's the X factor. I think I probably said it to you during the Florida game because we were sitting next to each other. He's the guy that you make the Final Four if he's playing well, potentially, or you might get bounced in the first weekend if he just doesn't show up again. Those were two championship-level games with Auburn and Florida. One of them literally was a championship game, but those are two deep tournament games in terms of what you're going to see. And one of your most important players kind of no-showed you there. I mean, Florida, the game comes down to rebounding in large part against Florida. Igor is your best rebounder. He gets one rebound, is in foul trouble, is not present in that game. Saw a lot of similarities in Auburn's game. And, yeah, you referenced the two turnovers, which in that late game, too, that was when Auburn had made their run. They'd already made the run. And Tennessee comes out of a timeout, and then there's those goofs. You've got to have him out there. For his rebounding, for his floor spacing. I mean, he's a good passer. Like, he's just the guy you've got to have out there. But you've got to have him out there being at his best. And it's been probably a month since I feel like he's really been consistent and good. His rebounding's notably down in that stretch. But, like, first half of SEC, pretty darn good. Just hasn't been that. That's the guy they've got to get going. You know, I talked to Coach Gainey after the game, and he kept talking about, you know, he's heard it from us, he's heard it from his teammates, enough talk, we need him. Like, we just need him to focus on defense and rebounding, let the rest fall where it is. But, I mean, Tennessee knows how important he is. He's heard how important he is. Now it's a matter of, you know, can he get going against Wofford and, you know, have a good start feeling yourself again game and move forward well, because Tennessee's going to need him to really show up in one of those games.
So, Mike, a lot of talk about the conference in general, obviously, with 14 teams getting in the tournament. How much do you think playing through the meat grinder that is the SEC has prepared Tennessee for this tournament?
Well, it's prepared me for this tournament, so that's pretty good.
That is good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously a great situation when you've gone through this conference and played the teams you've played the styles you've played, but now you're heading into something different, and I think a wild card factor there is always how it's called. I mean, you've seen the SEC and the way the games are played and the way they're called. So can you adjust now to a little more freedom of movement, change in terms of how it's called and officiated? But a lot of those teams have a good chance to make some noise. I thought Texas getting in was a little surprising, but obviously good news for the conference and spoke to the pedigree. But, yeah, pretty cool year. And I know they went 500 in conference play, but good job for the SEC to get in that many teams.
I think that was a data point of someone on this station to point out how they're not that great. So the wear and tear here beyond the SEC, just the lack of depth for this team.
Yeah.
Like, there are longer timeouts. But, and like you said, they've been able to take Ziegler off ball a little bit. It seems to me like he looks fine. His legs look like he's got lift on his shot, and he's in better shape in that way going into this tournament than he was last tournament. Are there any concerns? And really, even like Igor, is there an injury possibly as part of the answer with him?
He's dealt with a calf on and off throughout the year. So that has been a thing. But, you know, I thought it was funny. I can't remember which game it was after. Might have been Auburn, but Rick Barnes joked that, you know, Zakai was in foul trouble. It was a really good thing for him because it made him take him out of the game for a little while longer and get him rested, which, yeah, he wasn't toward the end of March last year. I mean, the Purdue game, I think, was his third straight game with 40 minutes in the NCAA tournament or close to that. Depth is kind of that wild card with Tennessee in terms of their roster specifically. They're thin in the post because J.P. Estrella got hurt. They only really play eight guys, and the eighth is Darlenstone Dubar, who I thought showed some good flashes and good minutes in Nashville in both the last two games. You know, or where Igor kind of shrunk in those games, it felt like Darlenstone jumped a little bit, promising there. But he's in and out in terms of minutes. So you're really leaning into seven guys, and that's a very small rotation in March. I mean, Rick Barnes has done it before with some of his rosters in the past in March, but that is hard. It's a very physical, heavy game for seven guys to carry the load there. So that's, again, you go back, Igor's got to show up because you can't lean heavily only on Cade Phillips and Felix Okpara. So depth has kind of been one of the questions all year long, and it's going to be relevant again in March.
Mike, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to getting it rolling here in a couple of days. Keep Rex Road in line, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Yeah, Joe, I'm busy with every night you want to get dinner.
We're going to early bird dinner at my age.
Early bird.
Yeah, all right.
He's got a lot of stuff
actually,
to do.
I think Mike takes, like, he brings, like, broccoli and, like, Tupperware now to, you know, Mr.
That's impressive.
Mr. Health Food.
I'm in my 30s. My life changed. My body changed.
So. Here we go. Thank you, Mike. Mike Wilson for the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what Mike had to say. Take your thoughts on Tennessee, their path in the NCAA tournament. We will get back into the Cam Ward discussion to begin the 7 o'clock hour as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. I'm very much looking forward to 7:45 coming up later today. May not be long enough.
Dude, it really probably just play stuff. And just have no comment on it. Here, listen to this. Can you believe this was on our station?
It's been a fun show so far during the break.
There's a dragon!
I'm just watching Rex Rhodes' face in the breaks just progressively get more red listening to Stilly from yesterday.
So bad. There's dragons in town!
It's still playing.
Oh, God, sorry.
A 9-minute run.
There you go.
Oh, man.
9-minute run. I forgot about, like, how bad that was. Oh, my God. Oh, geez.
And now we're at the time of year where we got more opportunities for more of it.
It is. The madness begins.
It does.
The madness is back.
It does. Appreciate Mike Wilson for being on with us there. What did you make of what he had to say on Igor Milicic and what that's going to look like for the Vols moving forward here?
Yeah, I think that's a great point about the Wofford game. It's like they should run like a few sets for him to get some shots. He's a really good player. He's a good shooter. He spaces the floor. That's the thing. You got to have him out there. Cade Phillips is an active freshman and gives you a little bit more of that grit and athleticism around the rim. But you got to have Igor in to space the floor because obviously with Akpar, I mean, he's a kind of limited player, right? I mean, he's going to rim run and dunk and he can protect the rim, but he's not a guy you throw the ball into. Different from last year when with Adu, you had a little bit more, you know, throw it in and he can face up and get you buckets and things like that. So with Milicic, you have a guy who can shoot the three, who can drive it. Like you said, he's a good passer. It was disappointing. He kind of, you know, he just got kind of punked, you know, especially in the Florida. I mean, look, the Florida game is, they are so big and strong and aggressive up front. So they can make a lot of people look bad. But, you know, if you're going to make a run here, because he's right, the Houston game, that's where, you know, you're running into some dogs, you know, if you get to that game. I mean, those guys, you know, Houston has been underperforming this tournament because they play this great defense. They're super physical, just like Kelvin Sampson teams always are, but they just, you know, they'll have this bad shooting night and they'll be out. But if you get to that game, you know, that's where, like, you got to be so tough. Can you get to that game? I mean, I agree. I think that I like their chances to get out of here, and I would still like them against either Illinois or Kentucky in the Sweet 16. But this weekend, a big priority is to get him going.
What about on the Gainey front? He's had some big buckets for them down the stretch in the regular season, in the tournament as well. And you heard Wilson, it's not the first time Wilson's brought it up there, of how important he's been just allowing Zakai Ziegler to play off ball on occasion. So from the Gainey perspective, how big is he going to be in terms of determining how far they go in this thing?
Yeah, big, and it's a great – it's so different now than a year ago. You know, really, if you look at Gainey last year, he was kind of a revelation early in the season.
Yep.
There weren't, like, huge expectations for him. Everybody was talking about Dalton Connect, but Gainey was also like, man, this guy is a real big addition. And he shot terribly, like, through the SEC. He went into just a huge shooting slump, and it continued in the NCAA tournament. And now I just feel like he's putting on the ball on the floor more and, you know, being more aggressive and not just settling for pulling up every time. He's physical. You know, he can get to the rim. I just think he's got a ton of confidence. And, you know, between Ziegler hitting shots now better, and I think that they have some of it is forced with the injury and stuff. But I think his legs are in pretty good shape right now. And then, obviously, Chaz Lanier is a huge – you know, a huge storyline for this tournament. They got to get him shots, and he's got to hit them. But that's a nice trio to go with Meshack on that perimeter and mix four people, you know, keep somebody resting and keep rotating those four guys among three spots. It's a pretty good situation.
Got some more thoughts to get into on the Cam Ward front as it relates to the Titans. We'll take those on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get back into that. There was a signing yesterday that made me shake my head. I thought the Titans should have got in there and pursued this player. We'll get into that in the next hour as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.